Unsolved Mysteries. Some crimes of murder are mysteries because the murderer, having foreseen every difficulty of avoiding detection, has successfully overcome these difficulties and has therefore actually avoided detection. But there are crimes in which the mystery lies in the manner in which the crime was committed. Such is the case of the Bridge Whist expert, as the New York police termed the slaying of J.B. Maxwell in his apartment, 644 West 70th Street, New York City. Since some of the characters are still alive, names of characters and places have been changed, but the dramatic reenactment is authentic in every detail. The scene is the 600 block West 70th Street, New York. The mailman on his rounds waves to a milkman across the street. Police Officer Brown saunters down the sidewalk, and at that moment, a woman walks down the street, up the steps to number 644, takes out a latch key, opens the door, and walks into the apartment as the clock strikes 8.
Mr. Maxwell, I brought you.
Shot where? Come here and have a look.
In here. He was still breathing when I walked into his room.
Well, he's dead now. Drilled clean through the head. Where do I call headquarters? Hello? Hello?
That phone's out of order.
Well, I'll use the one next door. Hey, you, milkman. Instead of standing there at the door gaping, get on the phone and call headquarters.
Okay, I'll get him right away.
You haven't touched the body?
No, I should say not.
Who are you, anyways, wife?
No, he wasn't married. I'm his housekeeper. I came in just a few minutes ago. I was going to tell him something. I came in here and found him like this.
You were out, huh? You leave the door open when you went out?
No, I was just coming in for the day. I live at my own home.
You found the door locked?
Yes. I had to use my key to get in.
How many people have keys?
Only me and Mr. Maxwell and...
Yeah?
The lock was changed only last week.
Anybody can get in through the back door?
There is no back door. There's a basement door. It's bolted on the inside. Mr. Maxwell... must have killed himself. Nobody could have got in.
Killed himself and then went out and hid the gun, I suppose.
Well, I didn't think about the gun.
Anybody here with him last night?
Not before I left.
Maxwell smoked a load of cigarettes?
Not that I know of.
Or was this one here on the mantel shelf when you left last night? Been left burning and charred the shelf.
It wasn't here when I left.
Well, this is probably the DA and his investigators.
There's something else I don't understand.
There's a lot I don't understand.
But... Mr. Maxwell wore a wig, and he had artificial teeth. He was very particular that nobody ever saw him without them. And yet he...
Yeah. He doesn't have on his wig, and he doesn't have his teeth in.
Where are you, officer?
That's the DA. And here, Mr. Wilson.
What have you found
out, officer? Well, he was shot through the head. House was locked, both doors locked on the inside, and no gun.
Yeah. He was reading his morning mail when he was shot.
Yes, Gary. Who got him his mail?
He must have got it himself.
He was dead when you came in?
No, he was still breathing.
And he could have let the murderer in himself.
Yeah, but the murderer couldn't get out.
No? Who are you?
The milkman. I called you at headquarters. I was in the street delivering milk for 20 minutes and not a soul but the mailman.
The mailman? You saw him?
Sure. I waved to him.
How long before this woman, Mrs. Lawson, arrived?
Oh, less than 5 minutes.
Now, wait a minute. Let's get this straight. No one has come out of this house since the mailman delivered the mail?
No.
Then whoever killed Maxwell is still in the house.
Sorry, Mr. Carey, but that won't do. I searched the place while you were talking in here, and there's no one in this flat beside us.
Yeah, wait a minute. Maybe you didn't see anyone come out of this flat, but someone did. That's that.
Well, Mr. Wilson, I was walking my beat, and I would have seen anyone leave.
Then he was killed earlier than we think.
Oh, it couldn't be, Carey. He's got the mail in his hand.
Oh, yes. I realized that as soon as I spoke.
Here's something else to puzzle over. Look at the bullet hole smack in the center of his forehead.
Yeah,
but look where the bullet hit the wall.
Can you beat that?
Now then, where would a man have to stand in order to fire a shot on that angle?
Over about here, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's all right except for one thing. You're standing 15 feet away from Maxwell, and the shot was fired within 3 feet. See the powder bones?
Well, a man would have to be lying down on the floor to fire the shot at that angle and move powder bones.
So it would seem. But what was Maxwell doing, waiting for the murderer to take aim?
It's got me beat.
It's got more than you beat. Wilson.
Yes?
I'm going out for a minute. I'm going to call the phone company.
Yes?
Yes. I've got an idea.
I'll be back in a few minutes. See if you can dig up any more of us.
Whoever killed Maxwell must have been well known to him.
Well, we know that because he admitted the murder himself.
Yes, yeah. Have. But more than that, he was particular about his appearance. Mrs. Larson said so. He wouldn't have admitted anybody, that is, anybody he didn't know very well, without first putting on his wig and putting in his artificial teeth.
Hmm. So?
So the murderer was a man and not a woman. And he was a man from whom Maxwell had no secrets.
All good reasoning, Brown. But it neither gives us a motive nor does it explain how the murderer got out without being seen.
Yeah, but Mr. Wilson, it does help to explain how the murderer got close enough to Maxwell to kill him at 3 feet without arousing his suspicion.
You're right, Brown. You're dead right. Your idea at least narrows the field of search down to Maxwell's immediate friends. Here's Carey. What'd you find out?
Plenty. Did you say, Brown, that this phone was out of order this morning?
Yes, sir. I tried to use it, and Mrs. Larson said
I said that the phone had been out of order for several days.
Well, listen to this. The phone company's records show a call, an incoming call, the previous morning. Then Maxwell called Rockaway, 1841. And at 6-9, he called him in Garden City. But you, Mrs. Larson, say that the phone has been out of order for days.
I know it has, because the other day the chauffeur drove over here instead of phoning, because he said the phone didn't work.
Well, it's beyond me. The fellow shot through the head, apparently makes no effort to fight, must have been shot by someone lying on the floor, doors both of them bolted, the house under observation for at least 20 minutes, and a man doesn't live that long with a bullet through his brain. I tell you what.
Yeah, what, D.A.?
This place has me jittery. Let's go down to headquarters, send out the fingerprint boys, and talk it over down in my office where things like this don't happen.
The fingerprint boys went out to the Maxwell flat. They found nothing. No fingerprints but those of the legitimate occupants of the house. A cigarette on the mantel shelf? The Lotus cigarette meant nothing. The investigators never knew before that the Lotus brand of cigarette was so popular. The DA's remarks about talking it over in the office became a joke to the department because every day, Carey, Brown, the police surgeon, Wilson, and the fingerprint boys collected there to discuss the murder of the bridge whist expert.
I tell you, Chief, it was robbery.
All rubbish. The man had $500 in bills in his pants pocket. $5,000 worth of jewelry lying loose on his bureau.
And if it were robbery, how come the thief gets within 3 feet of him before he plugs him?
And I don't care if it's robbery, mayhem, or anything else. That doesn't explain how the murderer got into a locked house, windows bolted, killed a man with a .45, must lie on the floor to do it, walks out with a milkman watching, a milkman who swears that no one left the house.
Backed up by the policeman on the beat.
Yes, and a woman, the housekeeper, who says that the murdered man was breathing when she entered the room. Hey, everybody in the neighborhood seems to have been watching the house, and no one, not a soul, sees the murderer leave.
And not a soul hears the shot.
What's that you said?
Not a soul heard the shot.
My gosh. There's the solution, if only we knew how to apply it.
Well, what have we missed? 8 o'clock, he's dead. Shot through the brain. Powder burns show that the shot was fired within 3 feet. Doors locked. Police outside. Milkman outside. Postman brings mail. So we know he was killed after that.
Do we?
Listen, that's the second puzzling remark you've passed in 5 minutes.
Not a soul heard the shot. And do we? The chance remarks of a policeman on the beat, but they were the answers to the riddle which has haunted New York's police department for 15 years. But we believe that we have an answer. Ladies and gentlemen, the solution for which you have been waiting. The scene is the 600 block West 70th Street. A few minutes before 8, a figure, the mailman, walks down the street and up the steps to number 644, rings the bell.
Oh, forgot some mail, did you? I just came to the door a moment ago and got the mail.
No, I'm not the mailman.
You? What on earth is the idea of the disguise?
Don't keep me standing here. You got my letter?
Yes, I got it. Come in. Come in here. You don't mind if I continue to read my mail?
I'm only interested in one letter in your mail.
Yes?
Yes. Will you give it to me?
No, I won't.
You know what I said to you yesterday over the phone?
Quite well. And I haven't changed my proposition one little bit.
Listen, J.B., as a mother, I'll go down on my knees to plead with you.
Get up off your knees and forget the melodrama.
Look here, J.B., my handbag...
You little fool, don't touch that gun.
Listen, J.B., I'm going to kill you.
You idiot. You can't get away with this.
Oh, I can. I planned it. Don't move. I'm promising you. If you move, I'll kill you. You asked about my disguise. Now is it clear? No one notices a mailman. And this gun, J.B., you recognize it. My husband. It has a silencer. But you, J.B., won't even hear it click. Now the letter. Where is it? Ah, under the chair. I'll leave it. Oh, he's not so heavy.
The kneeling woman, the moved chair. These were the two things which confused the police when they investigated the acute angle the bullet had made. The mailman's disguise suggested itself to the woman because it was a letter she wished to recover from Maxwell. The mailman's disguise was what confused the witnesses as to the time element. Some of them saw the real mailman, others the murderer in disguise. So, the murderer, partly by luck and partly by planning, had left the New York police another unsolved mystery. Man has been seeking the answer to the riddle, what happens in the unseen realm beyond? With all our science, we're as far from answering that question as man was in the beginning. But with the accumulated records of the past, the conviction is borne strongly upon some that there is a link joining us mortals with those who have passed this way before. American newspaper correspondent's home.